happy to be able to teach this message to you today. It's one of those things that when you have something that God really spoke to you, that you just can't wait to share. And so it's one of those things that I really feel as though God wanted me to share with you because it totally helped me to move forward in my life. So here we are on the big game day. We're sitting here and we're all in the present, right? Now, if you guys are big bettors, hopefully not. You know, the future will tell us what happened. But, you know, none of us know the future right now, right? None of us know what's going to take place. Really, in the next 5 minutes, the next hour, the next month, the next year, none of us knows what our future holds. All we really know is right now what's in the present and what's happened in the past. That's all what we can really do. What we can learn life through is just the experiences that we've had so far. So none of us really have any idea. All of us might have hopes and dreams. When we think, man, I have a hope and dream for where I want my future to go. Maybe if you have kids, what your dreams and your hopes are for your kids. You might have a plan that you want to have happen. But what happens a lot of times is we really can't get to our future because we have something that keeps dogging us, and that's our past. So we have this experience, these things that have happened to us, things that have really kind of formed us into becoming the people that we are today. And it's really hard sometimes to get past that past. We see ourselves in the same way sometimes, even though God has maybe moved us forward. Sometimes we still feel that past. And we all have a past. Some of you guys might have a great past. Maybe you're the people that actually, God bless you, you're those people that actually look back on your past and you just reminisce. And you know, it's like bringing out an old photo album. You think back to those good old days and good old times and you're like, man, that was wonderful. And you just would love to go back and live there. Like I said, God bless you. A lot of us don't have that. Amen. So the thing is, some of you might be more like me, that maybe you have a past that wasn't so wonderful, wasn't so great. And you think back some time to time, and you know what? You get this, like, wash of maybe sometimes guilt, sometimes hurt, sometimes pain that kind of comes upon you, and you think, man, if someone paid me to go back, I would never go back and relive those times again. So we have this experience. We have this past that seems to form us into who we are. And we'd love to say sometimes that we could just forget it, that we could move on, but it's not so easy. It's definitely not so easy to have happen. But the one thing the Bible tells us is that what we do is we have to move on from our past. See, the thing is, our past kind of made us into who we are, but we have to deal with our past so that we can move into the future. We have to put some things to bed. So this past experience, this life that you lived before, maybe BC, before Christ, maybe one of those things, you know, we have to talk about it. It's huge. We might like to pretend like it doesn't exist. Some things maybe that we did in our past that we think, man, that was not me. It's not me. And, you know, you don't want to be reminded of some things. We all have that experience. Well, what happened to me was after I became a believer, I started to read God's word, and I started to think as I was reading, and boy, there's some things that he really wants us to think about and remember, but then there's some things that he really wants us to forget. And that's one of the things I want to talk to you today about, is the fact that we need to remember to forget some things. Next week, I hope you come back and you can hear about that, some things that we really, you know, can't forget to remember about the future. But like I say, this huge one of God that he wanted to really point out to me is the fact that we can't dwell on our past. We may have lived through something that was tough, or maybe we've dealt with a really past experience that was really, really, really painful. But God says you can't live there no more. You have to move forward. You have to go on in life. Isaiah 43, 18 and 19 says, "Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland." So we have this amazing God that takes this past, these past hurts, past struggles, past pains, and what he does is he says, "I'm going to give you a second chance to do it over again." And not only that, but sometimes give us a third and a fourth and a fifth chance because he knows how hard our past can be to get past. See, God gives us an opportunity over and over again. He knows that what it is almost like a peeling an onion, you know, a way where you get rid of something, you think you're over it, and then a lot of times you kind of get reminded of it in the most inopportune times of your past and the things that you've done. But we all have a past. And we're really not in that bad of company. That's the other thing that gave me great, great hope when I started to read the Bible. Because a lot of people will look at the Bible and they'll think, wow, this Bible is so full of perfect people, and this is what it's supposed to be. And you realize as you read the Bible that, man, there's more flawed people in there than even I am. You know, I may have done this, but I didn't do that. You know, this is what happens. And that's why God's word is so powerful, because those experiences that you see people have gone through and the fact that God will still call them as valuable and worthy, you think, wow, what a loving God we have, that he gives us a second and third chance, that he not only takes our past, but he says that he doesn't hold it against us any longer. He just removes it from us. But like I said, we get a habit of getting stuck in the past. But Jesus, God bless him, is always saying, come on, come forward. Don't live there no more. Don't live in this past shame. Don't live in this past hurt. Move forward and come with me, is what he says. I was kind of thinking about this experience that we have. A lot of times where we can't see past our past, what we do is we see a lot of negative things because our past was so negative. And maybe, like I said, you have a past that was really wonderful. Maybe you really did have a great past. My husband has that, and it's wonderful. I mean, honestly, I'm married to probably the most optimistic person in the world. If he exists, I think it might be John Graper. Because honestly, and I really believe there's probably a reason why God put me with him. Because I am probably the most pessimistic person that there is. So we have to balance each other out a little bit, you know? But what there is this experience that we have where we, a lot of times, if we see a lot of pain, a lot of things from our past, what we do is a lot of times we see that there's going to be more pain and more struggles ahead. If you've had a great life, a lot of times you think, no, things are going to be great. They're going to be wonderful. And you see good things. But this is actually scientific. There's actually a behavioral study that has been done, and scientists have figured out there is an experience that we all have in our brains that's called the reticular activating system. And what that actually is if you've always seen doom and gloom, if you've always seen negative, if you've always seen something that's just horrible, a lot of times what you're going to do is you're going to see the horrible. If you're a person who's seen great things and you believe great things can happen for you, a lot of times what you're going to see is great things and opportunities for you. Now, I can take it back to simpler terms. I bought a white Chevy Equinox. I didn't even really know what a white Chevy Equinox was when I got it. But I will tell you something. Once I bought a white Chevy Equinox, I saw a white Chevy Equinox about every day I went on the road. Everywhere I went, I saw a white Chevy Equinox. Cameron even said, man, I wish you'd get a different car. Everybody has a white Chevy Equinox. But actually, that's not true. If I would have bought a blue Ford Explorer, I would start seeing blue Ford Explorers everywhere. See, the thing is, what it is that we expect to see, we will see. It's actually scientific. It's something that happens in our brain. So this phenomena actually takes place. The things that we've gone through in our past, we will continually see in the future if we don't try to see better. Now, this might be really hard for you because maybe some of you guys have lived with parents who were very, very negative and always pointed out things that were not good. They're the ones that always said, that's good, but did you notice this? This is going to happen. This is not good. You know, I don't know. Maybe that's why you guys turn out as good as you did. Maybe you really do need to have that complete opposite. I don't know. I'm always like, you watch out. You never know what's going to happen. And my husband would be like, kids, your future is going to be wonderful and great, you know. So maybe it was great. I don't know. But, you know, the thing is, what happens a lot of times, if you have guilt too, if you're a person who struggled with guilt, a lot of times what you're going to see is that the enemy will bring up those things to you, and you'll start to see all that negativity, and you're going to feel that guilt, and it's going to dog you. It's going to be one of those things where you're having a great day. Things are wonderful, and man, you think you can go out there and you could slay dragons in the name of Christ. And then you're going to see something that's going to remind you exactly and take you back to this tough time when you think, that's terrible what I did. That's terrible what I went through. That hurt I can't get past. Those things that have happened to me in the past, those things that I really had no reason why I should have gone through them, They're there, and it's hard to not relive them over and over again. The thing is, God has a better way. God has a better way for us to live. See, the thing is, if we keep living in our past, we're never going to truly enjoy the future that God has for us. Jeremiah 29:11-13 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. In those days when you pray, I will listen. If you look for me wholeheartedly, you will find me." So what I had to do in my own life is I had to remember to forget who it was that I used to be, see? Because really after accepting Jesus as my Savior, I was really no longer that same person. See, that's what's so great. And a lot of times people really have a hard time accepting the fact that God can change us so much. You know, I remember after accepting Jesus as my Savior that we went to the sandwich fair not too long after that. It was actually, you know, that same year. And I remember us walking through the crowds, and there was somebody passing out a tract. And they come up to me and handed it to me, and I wanted to say, "What? You can't see my face glowing? I've totally accepted Jesus. I don't need that tract. You can't see it on me?" Because you know what happened to me is I truly believed without a doubt that I became a different person. I believe there had to have been something so different on the outside of me, because I knew something so big had changed on the inside of me. And I couldn't believe that people couldn't recognize it. They couldn't see it because I felt it. You know, but to Deb Graper, I looked the exact same way to everybody. And the people that knew me before Christ, they still saw me as the Deb Graper I was. Maybe the one that said things that were a little bit inappropriate. Maybe the person who didn't do everything just right. But inside my brain, I was like screaming, I was like, "But no, that's not me no more. That's not me no more. Don't judge me by who I used to be, because that's not me anymore." See, the world's going to continually judge you the way that you were. That's what's bad about our past, really. You know, a lot of times people that knew you, you know, we all sometimes would have this like dream in our minds to think, "Man, if I could just move away and start over, no one would know me and I could recreate the new me." But you know, it can't happen, because you're going to take someone with you when you go. And that person's going to be you. That same person's going to whisper in those ears and say, "Do you remember when you did that? Do you remember when you acted that way?" See, the thing is, what's going to dog us? But the thing is, you know, when God changes our hearts and when he gives us this opportunity to come to him and receive salvation, he tells you that you are no longer the you that you used to be. Now you are the you that you are. You're new. You're recreated. So I had to forget this me that was and be the me that I am today. Couldn't dwell on that past no more, because that person no longer really existed. Even though the enemy wanted to bring it up, even though from time to time I would get reminded of it, that wasn't me. Truth is, we can't go back and change our past. We all would like to, but you know, there's that saying that says there's water under the bridge. You can't go back and you can't pull it back. We'd all like to time travel. We'd all like to go back and remember the dumb mistake we made or the things that we did. And you think, "Man, I would do it so different. I wouldn't want that to be me anymore." But you can't. The thing is, we have a future, and we shouldn't live in the past. We can't continually keep living in the past, because you'll never move forward and be what Christ wants you to be if you don't. See, the thing is, God isn't in the past. So we also can't be in the past. You never hear God use past tense. If you read the Bible, you'll see right off the bat, he never says, "I am the God that was." He says, "I am." The I am. Always present. Always now. That's what he is. So when God calls himself the I am, that's something you need to remember for yourself, that you are who you are today. If you've been forgiven, you need to act forgiven. Quit acting guilty. Quit going back to that time and thinking that you are who you used to be. Because that's not who you are today. Like I said, I may have looked the same, but I was different, so different on the inside. There was times where I really would think to myself, "I don't know, I could actually maybe pass a lie detector test." Did you do that? I'd be like, "No, I didn't. Because it's not me no more." I think about these things. But anyway, I was different. This guilt that I had, I didn't carry it anymore. There's still times that you're reminded. We get reminded. And it's always usually when God has something great for us to accomplish. first, that he tries to remind you who you are or who you used to be, is when he tries to like take you down before you have the opportunity really to reach anybody. For me, I lived 28 years, and I lived the past every single 28 years of that, every day of that 28 years, because I had lived a life where it wasn't wonderful. And like I said, I think we are made up of our past, because obviously my husband is very optimistic, but my husband had a pretty good childhood. None of us had that. I didn't have that. You know, I grew up in a family that was not cohesive. There was a lot of problems, a lot of struggle. And I never really felt loved enough, confident enough, assured enough. I never felt those things. So for 28 years, I really felt like I wasn't really good enough. And I think it was out of that experience that you develop all these hurts and scars that you carry with you. See, the thing is, what's great about God is he gives us an opportunity to turn those scars in. But at the time, I didn't know. For 28 years, I lived with this idea of I wasn't loved. I wasn't loved enough. You know, I had a mom and dad that really came together and they weren't married. My mom had 8 kids before she met my dad, and my dad had 8 kids before he met my mom. They got together and lived together, and it wasn't a good upbringing. I was the last of 10 that was living in the house. Nobody really cared, you know. There was a lot of abuse, a lot of struggles that went on in our life. My dad was an alcoholic, and my mom was an enabler. She let him do whatever he wanted to do to keep him around. Because when you have 8 kids, you have to pay the bills. Unfortunately, she made some bad, bad, bad choices through that, where she allowed my dad to be abusive to all my sisters, to all of us, where he was very physically, sexually, and emotionally abusive. So I grew up with this for 28 years of living with this past experience. My mom died when I was 7. My dad was kind of just gone. He met a new woman by that time, and he'd already left. And I was pretty much raised by teenagers. Until my brother burnt down our house, and I went to live with my 17-year-old sister, who was newly married, trying to get out of the house herself. But all the years growing up, every time I did see my dad, which was very, very rare, when I did see him, what happened is I longed for my dad to tell me that I had value. Always wishing. Even though he was abusive, there was something inside me that still yearned for him to tell me that he loved me. So my dad would come in to drop us off or would see him from time to time, what I would do is I'd say, when he was leaving, "I love you, Dad." Never said a word. Never said it back. I waited forever for that "I love you" back. It never came. Unfortunately, them scars went deep. And I kept thinking, what's wrong with me? What's wrong with me that he doesn't see me as valuable? Why doesn't he see a person that loves him and want to love me back? Now, obviously, I realize now as going on that my dad had his own demons. My dad had his own things that he was struggling with. But those things, man, they were tough to deal with. And out of that experience, because of those pains and hurts, I did a lot of dumb things. It's totally true that a girl will look outside for male attention when they don't get a dad that tells them that they love them. It's totally true, I can tell you firsthand. This is why when I had my kids, I was like, man, we're going to do it different. We're going to do it different. We're going to tell our kids how valuable they are. We're going to tell them how much we love them every day. We're going to give them affection. We're going to give them physical touch. We're going to give them all that because I yearn for that so much. I yearn for somebody to hug me and tell me that they loved me. My sister at the time was raising she had 3 little kids right in a row. She was too busy. So those times when you're alone, you know, you feel like you just have nothing, you learn how to cope on your own. See, at the time, looking back, I didn't know, but looking back now, I do know that God was with me all those times. I didn't know it then. I do know it now. But here was this dad who was missing in action and giving me confidence and assurance and love and value that I always wanted from him. But what was amazing is I came to Christ and I got all that and then some. What I got from God was, you're valuable. Did you know you're worth dying for? That just blew my mind. I couldn't get over it when I had this opportunity to come forward. You know, it was in the days of the churches where, honestly, we don't do this so much anymore, where we say, do you want salvation? Do you want Jesus to forgive you of your sins? If you do, come forward, and I'll pray with you, and I'll ask Jesus to forgive you of your sins. When that call came, I ran. I ran because I was so excited, because I thought, this is the Father that I'd always yearned for, the one that was going to tell me I had value. That's what I was looking for my whole life. I didn't have an earthly father that told me that, but I had this heavenly Father that told me that. That's what's so amazing. That's what I want to leave you with today, is to understand that you have that exact same thing. You are just as valuable. God loves you so much, and he says, I just want to give you a better future for you. I want you to have a hope that there's something better for you. Not to keep living in the past and reliving it over and over and over again, but moving forward and understanding that I have a better way planned for you. That's what it's all about. When I came to Christ, I never felt so confident. I never felt so valued, and I never felt so loved. It changed everything. We need to forget our past. That's what we need to do. If you look at a car, we're driving in a car, what do we have? This great big windshield in front of us and a little tiny rearview mirror that's there also. So the problem is what a lot of us are doing is we're trying to drive looking in the rearview mirror instead of looking through that great big windshield. See, it's good. It's important to look back from time to time, glance and see what God came and brought you from. But understand that he has this whole future that's laid out in front of you, and man, he wants you to go forward. He doesn't want you to go back. He wants you to move forward and keep going. That's what it's all about. If you keep looking back over and over and over again, what you're going to do is you're going to trip yourself up. Drive backwards for any length of time. You definitely can't go a very high speed, can you? See, the thing is, he says, I have a better plan for you. This is not what I want you to do, to just keep glancing in that mirror over and over and over again and starting to look steadily into it because you keep thinking that your past is who you are. If God can forgive us, we need to forgive ourselves. There's times where the enemy will bring something up to me, and honestly, it'll be the vilest image, something that I was, something that I did, and you feel disgusted with yourself. That is a terrible thing that I did. See, the thing is, but God says, but I don't hold it against you. The Bible tells us that our sins are wiped away as far as from the east as from the west, that he doesn't even see us in our sin. What he does is he sees Christ through us once we've accepted him. There's no condemnation in Christ. These enemies speaking these words, we can't own that because God has a better plan for us. That's what it's all about. What happens, though, if we keep living in that past is what we do is we feel this guilt, we feel this shame, and we do exactly what Adam and Eve did in the past. They hid from God. So that's exactly what will happen to you. If you keep living in the past, you're going to constantly run from God, not to God, because you're going to feel shameful, you're going to feel dirty, you're going to feel not good enough, because we know we serve a perfect God. So what we do is when we look into God, as a mirror, we think, all I see is my imperfections. I have to go away. See, God says, but you don't understand. Once you've been forgiven, I don't even see those imperfections anymore. I see Christ in you. So you can come closer and come closer and come closer to me. And that's what he says. Draw near to me, I'll draw near to you. Seek me with all your heart, and you'll find me. Open your eyes. Notice I'm here. Listen, I'm talking to you. That's what he wants. He doesn't want us to run from him. He wants us to run to him. And if we don't do that, what happens if we keep living in the past is what we're doing is, honestly and truthfully, we're telling God that what he did for you wasn't good enough. That you don't believe that he actually gave you a difference in your life. It's actually a horrible thing we could do to God is to keep living in the past. It's actually painful. The pain that we're putting upon him. because, man, I died for you. Why do you keep going back and living in such victim mentality? You're a victor now. That's what you have. I am thankful now, the pains and the hurts and the struggles I had, because you know what? It gave me an amazing testimony. Because I look back and I think, God, if you can change that person who was and make me who I am, I know you're a real God. I know you're amazing. But we can't keep running from God. Today, if you're here and you're feeling guilt, that's not from God. That's from the enemy. See, God just wants you to be free. He says there's freedom in Christ, not bondage. When we sang that song, Unstoppable God, it talks about the fact that we lay down our chains, that we break them away from ourselves. It says you can't run when you're shackled. See, that's what happens to our past. We keep shackling ourselves to the past. This is exactly, you know, someone like Paul in the Bible. I love Paul. And the reason why I think I love Paul is because I can just totally relate to Paul. I look back and think of how negative and how really unworthy and unvaluable I felt, and really the things I did, and I think, here Paul is, you know, the person he was, and God can use him to write most of the New Testament. It's amazing to me. But what Paul says is in Philippians 3, 12 through 14, he says, I don't mean to say that I've already achieved these things or that I've already reached perfection, but I press on to possess that perfection for which Christ Jesus first possessed me. No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. If anybody would have guilt, it was Paul. Paul had much, much things that he could have been ashamed of, the things that he did in the past. But what he did was he moved forward. He moved forward and he realized that person who I was is not who I am anymore. It wasn't easy. At the beginning, he wanted to hold on to it. He totally wanted to hold on to it, because what he actually says is he says in Acts 22, 19, 20, it says, but Lord, I argued, they certainly know that in every synagogue I imprisoned and beat those who believed in you. And I was in complete agreement when your witness Stephen was killed. I stood by and kept the coats they took off when they stoned him. Have you ever stood by and held the coats of somebody getting murdered? If God can forgive Paul, think what he can do for you in your life. That's something that's so important to remember. See, he wanted, at first he was like, no, that's who I was. That's who I was. You know, God, why use me? I've asked myself that question so many times. Why, God, would you call me to pastor anybody? And I realize it's because you take your past and you move forward and you have a great future and you can share it with somebody. So the testimony is important. The testimony, the things that you've gone through in the past, is your test. There's a saying that says you can't have a testimony without a test. See, what you've gone through in the past is going to be used amazingly in the future to reach others for Christ. That's why God used such flawed, imperfect people over and over again. Not people that look perfect and did everything right. He loves to just amaze the world. He loves to confound the wise. He loves to mess with people's heads. It's like, you? He called you to do this? Yep, called me to do it. Doesn't make any sense, but he did. It's the way it works. But we cannot keep letting our failures, our hurts, and our disappointments steal our future. God has such a better plan for us. See, the thing is, God will use us imperfect past to give us this amazing future. God still said to Paul, go and do these things that I called you to do. Thankfully, Paul didn't allow it to stop him. Could you imagine what we'd have, the Bible we'd have without Paul? Man, I just love Paul. He's the one that I'm going to wait. Besides Jesus, I can't wait to meet Paul. I just can't wait to meet him. But like I said, we can't walk in victory if we're playing the victim card forever. A lot of people like to play the victim card. A lot of people like to just keep living in that past and hurts and struggles. God says, you've got to move on. Like I said, I had five sisters, three brothers that lived in the house with me. And some dealt better with the abuse than others. I have some that don't like to talk about it a lot. There's some that honestly will talk about it every single time we get together. Things that happened that our dad did. Things that my mom allowed. And after a while you think, man, you've got to move forward. You can't keep reminding yourself this past experience over and over again. You need to say, yes, that happened, but let's move on from this. Let's go forward from this. Colossians 2:13 and 14 says, you were dead because of your sins and because your sinful nature was not yet cut away. Then God made you alive with Christ, for he forgave all our sins. He canceled the record of the charges against us and took it away by nailing it to the cross. Do you own that? Do you believe that? If that happened to you, do you believe that your sins specifically, you, where you sit today, that they were actually taken to the cross? You have to believe it. If you don't, you're calling God a liar. He said the fact that you were forgiven. So every time you keep putting this guilt on you and the sins that you had or these deep hurts that you keep wallowing in, what you're doing is you're constantly telling God, you're not good enough. You're not good enough. You didn't take my sins, God. That's a dangerous place to live. It's a very dangerous place to live. God says, man, I have such great things in store for you. If you would just believe it for yourself. I really believe that's one of the reasons why Christianity is really not as far as it should be. Because there's too many people living in the past that say they've been forgiven, say that Christ took their sins to the cross, but yet what they do is they continually keep walking as a victim. Keep remembering and reminding themselves of all the pain and all the struggles that they've gone through or the guilt that they suffer from. You have to move forward. I think this is one of the reasons why God wanted me to teach this day, because I know there's people like out there like me that have not had great paths. And maybe you're one that says, yeah, Christ forgave me. But then a lot of times what you get through is like the middle of the week, you start thinking about all the things that you did and you think, yeah, I'm not so great. How can I share Christ with somebody else when I really don't feel like I'm forgiven and that God's changed my life? He's like, do you realize what I've done for you? If we truly believe it, we're going to share it. We're going to believe with all our hearts that God can take a horrible sinner and redeem them and make them perfect through him. That's what it's about. So you need to quit allowing your past to steal your future. We need to remember to forget is what we need to do. Forget being the victim. Forget it, because you are now a victor. You walk in victory just like Christ did. We know the Bible says we win. Why are we continually always being beat down over and over again? You have to forget your past because you're a new creation. Do you believe that God changed your heart? Do you believe that he says he didn't just clean us up? It's not like you take a fish and you clean it. He says, I give you a new heart. That's what he tells us, a new heart. That's mind-blowing when you think of that. So you need to get past your past. Now, I know there's some people out there that really struggle with that. Maybe some out there that have never really accepted Jesus as your Savior. And if you haven't done that, I want to tell you, without a doubt, because I know, that Christ can give you a better future. He can change your past. And he can give you this hope. He can give you this amazing energy to move forward. You struggle with guilt, he can take it away. Now, it may not always be gone. You might feel it from time to time where the enemy will start to whisper in your ear, but you have the power at that moment to say, that's not me anymore. God redeemed me. And you talk back to those words, and God can change it. So if you've never accepted Jesus as your Savior, I want to really pray for you that you would really think about that. Think about where you're headed in life, where you want to end up, what are your hopes and dreams, what's your future plans for your kids. I know without a doubt, statistically proven, should have totally been a failure. Totally should have been a failure. Everything I did didn't look good on paper. But God can change it. Who takes the last of 10 growing up that has dealt with abuse and all the different things that has gone on and didn't do everything right graduated in June, got pregnant in July, got married in October. God can use someone like me. And give me two kids who have faithfully followed after God. Give me a husband who loves me despite everything and honestly is one of the nicest people you'll ever meet in your life. God can change things, but you got to believe it. You got to believe it with all your heart. If you've been forgiven, start claiming that victory. Quit holding on to the past and move forward. You have a better future if you just believe it for yourself and quit living in the past. Let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful that you not only just clean us up and change some things about us, but Lord, you recreate us, that you make us into different people. We're so thankful that you give us an opportunity to come and be changed. I pray for each person that's here that it doesn't know you, that they would truly reach out to you today, that they would feel you and they'd know that they just have to get rid of this guilt and they have to ask for forgiveness. Lord, we just ask that you would just speak that to them. Say, forgive me. And God, give me a better hope and future. And Lord, I do make you Lord of my life. I'm going to follow after you. I'm going to continually keep seeking you. But for those of us who've already done that, for those of us who've said that we accepted you, Lord, help us to quit getting held up and drowning in the past. But Lord, help us to see like that big windshield in front of us that we have a great future in store. I pray that you'd help each person today, Lord. I pray that you'd help them to know that they have a great future. We're thankful for everything that you're going to do for us this day and in the coming weeks, Lord. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.